Our flag salute. Mr. Edwardson, would you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Madam Clerk, will you call roll, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Fladyshevsky?
Here.
Ms. Hale?
Here.
Ms. Hughes Gandy?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Treem?
Here.
Mayor Weldon?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Now moving on to special order of business. Our first special order of business is our Children's Day proclamation. Could I have Gracie come up front, please? And you can bring anybody you want with you.
This might be a fun moment.
Right here. Come on, more people come up.
Come on up. I won't bite, I promise. All righty, so we're doing a proclamation for Children's Day. Whereas Gracie Blair, a kindergartner at Montessori Borealis School in Juneau, Alaska, was marking a calendar, and whereas Gracie found that there is a Mother's Day and a Father's Day, but no Children's Day in the United States, and whereas Gracie discovered that there are no holidays in April in the United States, and whereas Gracie's teacher, Lupita Alvarez, informed Gracie that in Mexico, a holiday called Children's Day is celebrated on April 30th, and whereas on this day in Mexico, schools host special events inviting parents to celebrate and share Children's Day with students. Parties are held, and children take part in activities like face painting, storytelling, art worship, and plays. You got that, Gracie? Face painting, storytelling, art workshops, and plays. So make sure Ms. Alvarez holds up to that. And whereas Children's Day has been celebrated annually in Mexico since 1925, children are recognized as an important part of society, so the day focuses on the importance of loving, accepting, and appreciating children. Whereas Gracie thought it would be a great idea to bring this tradition to her hometown of Juneau, Alaska, and asked Mayor Beth Weldon to issue a proclamation making it so. Now, therefore, I, Beth A. Weldon, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby issue this proclamation marking April 30th, 2019, as Children's Day in Juneau, Alaska. And Gracie drew me this nice picture, so hopefully she can celebrate Children's Day in style. So, do you have anything to say, Gracie?
I appreciate that.
Do you want to say anything? No. Ms. Alvarez, want to say anything?
Well, I really appreciate the presentation and giving the children really the place that they deserve in our community. And I'm so grateful to have this community that really values children and does everything to support their development. So thank you very much.
Thank you. So normally we have everybody shake hands with all the assembly members. Can we all reach across? So this is Gracie, so Gracie, would you shake hands?
Everybody else, go ahead.
You want to go? No, they're scary, I know.
Got to shake all our hands.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the great idea.
Good job.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Good
thank
job.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good job.
Good to see you,
I know.
Best proclamation ever.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So we expect to be invited for this celebration on April 30th.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Face painting. Face painting.
Face painting. I'm all about
it.
So we have a second proclamation today recognizing Public Service Week. So this is in honor of public employees at the federal, state, county, and city levels. So whereas each year since 1985, the first week in May is set aside as Public Service Recognition Week in appreciation of the dedicated people who serve the public and keep our nation working, and whereas many public servants, including military personnel, police officers, firefighters, border patrol officers, embassy employees, healthcare professionals, and others, risk their lives each day in service to the people of the United States and around the world, and whereas public servants, including teachers, doctors, and scientists, ferry workers and astronauts, nurses and safety inspectors, computer technicians and social workers, and countless other occupations, and whereas day in and day out, they provide the diverse services demanded by the American people of their government with efficiency and integrity, and whereas without these public servants at every level, continuity would be impossible in a democracy that regularly changes its leaders and elected officials, and whereas this is particularly true for the office of the municipal clerk, a time-honored and vital part of local government that exists throughout the world, and whereas 2019 marks the 50th celebration of Municipal Clerks Week, and whereas Jenna, is, as Alaska's capital city, is home to many hardworking public servants, now, therefore, I, Beth A. Weldon, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby issue this proclamation marking May 5th through 11th, 2019, as Public Service Recognition Week in Juneau, Alaska, and encourage all citizens to recognize the accomplishments and contributions of government employees at all levels, federal, state, county, and city. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and cause the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau to be affixed this 22nd day of April 2019. Beth A. Weldon, Mayor.
Well, on behalf of clerks worldwide, and especially those in Alaska, I thank the Mayor and Assembly. It's a privilege and an honor to work with and for you, and especially for the people of our community. So thank you.
Madam Mayor, if I might take a privilege, I forgot to mention one of the most important people in the room, who is our deputy clerk.
All right, well, that was the fun stuff. Now we move on to approval of minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Unfortunately, we have none to say approval. I'm sure it will be approved when they're finished, but they're just not quite ready yet.
Any objections to approval of the minutes?
Later.
Later.
Later. There are no minutes.
Oh, sorry. Never mind. There are no minutes. Okay, moving right along.
Thank you.
Manager's request for agenda changes.
No changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Okay, then we're moving on to public participation on non-agenda items. Okay, the first one we look like we have is Mr. William Quayle. Okay, Mr. Quayle, remember to keep your talk to non-agenda items, please.
Yeah, I know. We have agenda order. We have the regulations today. William Quayle on 415, Willoughby, number 305. This is about the commercial park permit, okay? I called the other day about my pedicab can only go up to the apron of Overstreet Park, okay? 40% of my riders, okay, once they're in, they don't want to get out. That's it in a nutshell. They get it, and the reason why is I took them all the way, because one of the reasons why they do take a pedicab is so they can ride right where up where they want to take a picture, and they take the picture. They never get out. Now, what the Parks Department is asking, okay, and this is risk management for the city,
Okay? You're asking these people to get out. Okay? And so they have to walk around. Okay? And these people are not very ambulatory. Okay? I swear. They just barely get in. Okay? When I take them back, I mean, I have to take them to the gate. Okay? Where the ship is. And what's really bad is we can't buy the permit. Okay? We were told we can't buy it. Okay? We're more than willing to pay the money to get, you know, the permit and that. That's no problem. But I'd like to get the assembly to, say, make an exception to the rule in this case. So the pedicabs can get permits for the commercial use of Overstreet Park. And 40%, at least I've taken 195 people to Overstreet Park. This is my one little pedicab. And Jim has taken quite a few himself, so we're both here, and we're both gonna, you know, it's really not cool. And I don't think it's right. And if you want to take on the risk, let it stay the way it is, okay? But with me being an insurance agent, you don't want to take the risk, okay? You want to take the least amount of risk involved, okay? It's better just to let them stay on in the paid cab, and, you know, so they don't have to get out. And that's an ideal situation.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Quayle. Does anybody have any clarifying questions for Mr. Quayle? Seeing and hearing none. Thank you. And I apologize to James. I'll slaughter your name. Mr. James Hawk, is this a non-agenda item or an agenda item? You didn't mark.
Non-agenda item.
Okay. Come on up. Please state your name and address, please.
My name is James Houck. I live at 3251 Douglas Highway. Greetings, Mayor Weldon, Mr. Watt. As an introduction, Juno Pedicab is the green pedicab company, both literally and figuratively. I run 4 pedal-powered pedicabs per day and have provided jobs to up to 9 people per summer. We've been in Juno in business since the summer of 2015, and I purchased the company in 2016. And we've run almost every day that there's a cruise ship in town since. This is Miss Susan York. She has run a pedicab for Juno Pedicab since its inception in 2015. Last summer, I brought my 19-year-old son into the business, and he will continue this summer. Susan is bringing her daughter into the business this summer. We love Juno. We guarantee that if you ride with us, locals ride free of charge, you will leave with a smile on your face. I come here specifically today to tell you how thankful we are to do business in Juno. And as the owner of 4 of the 5 pedicabs in Juno, you can think of me as the silent majority. I love doing business here and want to continue to do so. While here, it is useful to point out that Juno Pedicab directly supports Assembly Goal Number 5, Delta, which is a sustainable community. Specifically, to develop steps to shift public and private transportation toward renewable energy sources. Juno Pedicab is a solid community partner in this area. Every time a tourist chooses Juno Pedicab, they've chosen what I believe is the greenest of transportation alternatives. We can transport 3 people for fewer calories than it takes 1 person to walk a given distance over flat ground. Thank you for your time. My name is James Houck. And I'll leave a few business cards here in case anyone wants more information or to get into contact with me. Do you have any questions for me, Mayor Weldon?
I don't, but does any member of the Assembly have a question? Nope. Thank you, Mr. Hope.
Thank you.
Any member of the public that wants to speak on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move to the consent agenda. Are there any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Are there any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing and hearing none, assembly action. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. All right, that brings us to public hearing. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-08, an ordinance amending the land use code related to street standards.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend the land use code regarding standards for temporary cul-de-sacs and stub streets. A temporary cul-de-sac and stub street are used when the street design of a new subdivision ends at an adjoining property that could be developed. Currently, the land use code requires a developer of a subdivision designed with a stub street to construct it or provide a financial guarantee for 5 years to cover construction of it. This ordinance will remove that 5-year financial guarantee requirement and clarify the procedures and standards for when a temporary cul-de-sac and a stub street are required. The Planning Commission recommended the Assembly adopt this ordinance at its meeting on December 11, 2018. Public Works and Facilities discussed this on February 25, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any questions from the Assembly? Seeing and hearing none, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Oh, sorry. Is there any public testimony on this agenda item? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly pass Ordinance 2019-08, amending the land use code related to street standards, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item number B, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-12, an ordinance prohibiting commercial rental or provision of dockless vehicles and imposing a permit moratorium and sunset date.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Dockless transportation devices, including scooters and e-bikes, have become a growing management and policy concern in communities in the lower 48. The dockless nature of these devices can clutter sidewalks. Additionally, while scooters can be operated in a more nimble fashion than bikes, they are not well designed for uneven surfaces, which can result in riders being thrown from the devices. There are positives to dockless transportation devices as well. For example, they can extend the comfortable range of pedestrian commutes. This proposed ordinance would institute a temporary moratorium for commercial use of dockless vehicles to give the community an opportunity to develop reasonable regulations. The ordinance has an automatic sunset date of February 1st, 2020. Committee of the Whole discussed this topic at its meeting on February 25th, 2019. Planning Commission reviewed this ordinance on April 9, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it to the Assembly. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-12, an ordinance prohibiting commercial rental or provision of dockless vehicles, and imposing a permit moratorium and sunset date, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item number C, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-16, an ordinance authorizing the manager to convey approximately 600 square feet of property located at Lot 1, USS 3559, to the owners of the adjacent property located at 9223 North Douglas Highway.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Thomas Doherty requested to purchase a small fraction of city-owned property in order to have enough area to subdivide his existing lot into two residential lots. Mr. Doherty's lot is approximately 512 square feet below the minimum size needed to subdivide and requests to buy 600 square feet of city property. The land management plan allows for this type of disposal. The Lands Committee provided a motion of support at the November 19, 2018 meeting. Planning Commission recommended that the Assembly approve the sale at the January 22, 2019 meeting. Value of this property has been determined by the manager and assessor to be $2,400. The applicant will pay market value and all surveying, subdivision, recording, and closing costs. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Jean, hearing none, we'll bring it to the Assembly. Ms. Hughes-Scandies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that Ordinance 2019-16 be adopted, and I ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item number D, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-17, an ordinance authorizing the sale of 4 city and borough parcels located at Lena Point near 16550 Ocean View Drive and 16550 Point Lena Loop Road, and establishing the terms and conditions related to the sale.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The South Lena subdivision was recorded in 2006 and set aside a large lot to protect an eagle nest. The plat included a note describing that if the eagle nest was abandoned, the lot may be subdivided and developed. In 2017, the United States Fish and Wildlife Service determined the eagle's nest had been abandoned. The lot was then subdivided into 4 lots. The 4 lots were appraised and determined to have a fair market values between $90,000 and $101,000. This ordinance would authorize the sale of the 4 lots by sealed bid. Sealed bids for the lots are tentatively scheduled to be accepted until July 12. Details are available at CBJ's Land and Resources webpage or by calling staff at 586-5252. If any lot remains unsold after the sealed competitive bid sale, an over-the-counter sale of the remaining lots would be authorized. The Lands Committee passed a unanimous motion of support to sell these lots at its meeting on January 14, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move it to the Assembly. Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-17 and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item number E, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-18, an ordinance amending Ordinance 2006-32 and authorizing the Port Director to execute a lease amendment with William Heumann and Outdoor Food Service near 432 South Franklin Street.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
In 2006, the Assembly enacted Ordinance 2006-32, which authorized a 35-year lease of approximately 500 square feet of CBJ property for construction of the building known as People's Wharf. 2019-18 would amend Ordinance 2006-32 by authorizing the Port Director to increase the leased area by 305 square feet to provide space for outdoor food service. The applicant has used the area for the last 2 years for crab cookers, propane tanks, and customer waiting space associated with Tracy's King Crab Shack with an annual permit. The proposed additional leased area was appraised to have a fair market value of $6,405 per year. If the Assembly adopts this ordinance, the Port Director intends to issue an early entry authorization pursuant to CBJ 5309310 so the leased area can be used when the first large cruise ship arrives on April 28th. The applicant has also received a license for the last 2 years to use 400 square feet of right-of-way adjacent to the leased area for outdoor seating, but that right-of-way space is not subject to this lease amendment and is governed by a different process. Docks and Harbors Board reviewed this lease amendment on March 28, 2019 and recommended approval. Planning Commission reviewed this matter on April 9, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-18, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections?
Only for the purpose of the question.
Okay.
Thank you. Was there a date for when this had to be renewed again, or is it a year-by-year lease?
Mr. Turner.
This lease
This ordinance would authorize an amendment to match the 35-year term that the existing ordinance currently has, and it would, the financial terms would be reviewed every 5 years.
Renewal every 5 years, but actually a 35-year lease?
It would be, if I can do a little bit of math, 2041 is when the lease would expire.
Well, in that case, I object.
Okay. You want to speak to your objection?
I just think that's a little long for the lease to go on and on. I mean, I'm not objecting to the having it, but I think it ought to have a, should come up for a decision more than 41 years. That's too long to me, just too long.
Okay, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. What this ordinance does is it amends an existing lease. In ordinance 2006, which I assume was in 2006, this assembly authorized the 35-year lease. This simply amends that lease to add more square footage. We are not changing the terms of the lease approved 13 years ago. So this is not setting up 400 square feet for 35 years. So I think Governor Becker is correct. If we were doing just this lease, I would probably not want 35 years. But we are amending an existing lease.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Bryson, do you have your hand up?
I think Mr. Jones clarified my question statement that I was going to make.
All right. Ms. Becker?
Just because we're amending an existing lease, that by default, in a way, makes this also as long as that lease of the wharf doesn't make it necessarily right. That, you know, I don't know what, I guess I don't remember 2006 us giving a 35-year lease. I kind of thought this was new, year before last, that we gave that lease, but I guess that, I didn't get that clear either, so.
Okay, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this question would be for City Manager Watt. Is the lease set up in 5-year options? Because somebody indicated that the term or the cost would be renewed every 5 years, so it sounds to me like we have 5-year options.
Mr. Yucatel is taking off his jacket and coming to the
mic. Oh, man. Got the mail.
Mr. Yucatel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Bryson, so the 35-year lease is the most you can give under our ordinance. So when Mr. Heumann built the People's Wharf, he just wanted 466 square feet to add to his building. He owns all the other uplands. So what this ordinance does is just adds that extra 305 feet that wasn't envisioned when Mr. Heumann bought and built the People's Wharf. So the way the ordinance reads is every 5 years we review the value. So the value of the lease payments is looked at every 5 years with an appraisal or an appropriate review for the next till 2041 in this particular case. But it's every 5 year it gets reviewed.
Thank you, Mr. Utel.
Okay, Mr. Jones.
I'm going to ask the attorney, because when I look at a draft of the lease, I don't know if I've seen the latest version, but in the draft of the release of the lease that I looked at, if this 300 and some square feet is no longer used for food service, I think Mr. Heumann had no intention of maintaining that part of the lease. If they ought not to operate an outdoor food service in 6 years, then Mr. Heumann would give up that part. So I think there is that protection in there because of what Mr. Heumann wanted to have in the lease.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Edwardson, you had your hand up.
I think everybody else covered.
All right. Any more questions for Mr. Yucatel?
I'll ask a question about the map. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can you describe from this map what's old and what's new, like what's being added? The left-hand square is new, correct?
So previously, Mr. Heumann just had 62 square feet, which was that corner lease parcel A. That's it says 55 square feet, that
yep.
corner. And that's where Tracy's Crab Shack has the outdoor cookers.
Right.
And then the propane tanks were the other seven square feet for the propane tanks.
But what's the, just tell me what's the addition to so what he already has?
Lease parcel A and then lease parcel B.
Okay. Okay, you said two separate things. I'm sorry. You said lease parcel A was existing.
Last year they had a use permit for that corner and then a use permit for the propane tanks.
Can I clarify
yep.
this one? So if you
Mr.
look,
Turney.
Thank you. If you look on the map, the lease parcel A kind of looks like a W somewhat. The triangle inside that, that looks like it's going to the front doors, that's existing, governed under the 2006 ordinance and lease. And so what would be new tonight would be the W, the 55 square feet outside of that triangle. And the 250 square feet that's labeled as lease parcel B.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a total of 305 square feet.
Okay, so just to clarify, a part of the corner, some part of the corner, and the whole thing that says CBJ outside permanent area, or just the part on the left with this line?
So the only thing that this ordinance tonight would authorize would be lease parcel A and lease parcel B. So lease parcel A is 55 square feet, lease parcel B is 250 square feet. The area denoted CBJ outside seating permit area, that's governed by a whole different process.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clara. Mr. Ugatel, that was very helpful clarifying the situation. All right, coming back to the assembly. Ms. Becker, do you still have your objection?
Yes. I'm not opposed, just so we know, I'm not opposed to the food, it's wonderful food. Nor am I necessarily opposed to the amount of land. I'm just opposed to the length of guaranteeing that property being available. And I understand if she chooses not to do it, we'll revert back. But it's a long time without having any guarantees that we're going to be able to review it and do whatever. It's just too long to me. So, yes, I am going to continue to object.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Becker. Madam Clerk, we have an objection. Please call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Bledishevsky?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Candy?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, thank you. So moving on to item F, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11AG, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $800,000 as partial funding for the upgrade of the City and Borough of Juneau's land management and revenue enterprise system, funding provided by lease proceeds.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance provides up to $800,000 in funding for the project to upgrade the core land management and revenue enterprise software system, MS Govern. The funding for this increase will be provided through our master lease agreement arrangement with Key Bank. We are planning on entering into a four-year lease. Four-year lease would result in annual lease payments of approximately $200,000 plus interest. The actual interest cost and total lease amount will be determined at the time of leasing. The total projected project cost is between $900,000 and $1.08 million. There is $280,000 of funding remaining in a technology upgrade CIP, which will be transferred to this project. The lease payments are proposed to be funded from the voter-approved 2017 election 1% sales tax program. Voters approved $2 million to be allocated to CBJ technology infrastructure upgrades. Staff is currently negotiating with the vendor, MS Govern. Negotiations are anticipated to be complete by the end of April. In order to sign the contract, full funding needs to be secured. The lease provides an immediate source of project cash, and the repayment can be spread out over 4 years while the sales tax is being collected. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Okay, we will bring it back to the assembly. Mr. Jones. Oh, excuse me.
May I have a question?
Yes, you may.
I'm just a little bit confused because it says funding provided by lease proceeds, but then we're talking about how it's from the 1% sales tax. Can I just get an explanation about how that process works?
Mr. Bartholomew is going to come up and answer that question.
Mr. Bartholomew.
Madam Mayor, Ms. Treem. So what the lease is doing is giving us authority to immediately be able to commit $800,000. So under the CBJ rules, before we can sign a contract, we have to secure all the funding. The fact that the sales tax is going to come in over the next 4 to 5 years, it's not necessarily 100% available today. So to get that authority to sign the contract, we're doing a master lease agreement, and if we needed to make payments immediately, we would do that and borrow against the lease line of credit, and then when those sales tax come in, we would pay back the draw on the lease. So it is sort of a cash flow mechanism that will ultimately be paid by sales tax, and that will be the source of the project upgrade with temporary financing.
Any further questions, Ms. Dream?
No, that was helpful. The word lease is in here a lot. It was just a little bit confusing.
And that's, they kind of use it as lease financing. So technically, we're leasing that software until we pay off the vendor for the lease, or they'll, I guess they would get our software.
And I assume that the software is partly used to manage CBJ's leases.
It's actually managed to lease it's used to manage our revenue systems, some of which are leases, but it's primarily property tax, sales tax, utility billing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bartholomew. Any other questions for Mr. Bartholomew? Mr. Bryce?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So leasing equipment, especially as you mentioned that you're leasing against the lease line of credit, which then they're able to charge us interest on our lease. This strikes me as the most expensive way. Was it looked at to just outright purchase the software that is necessary as opposed to utilizing a lease payment system, which, again, it just seems like that's the most expensive way to go about securing this?
We did not come back to the assembly with the option. We could borrow or pay for this project when we sign the contract or secure the funding. We could use our fund balance or savings and redirect that next 4 years of sales tax, say, to pay back the general fund. And partially, this project's going to be put in over 24 months. The software, it's got three phases, and it doesn't actually start till January. We have to sign a contract by early May to secure our spot in the queue. So we don't anticipate drawing a lot, but we do have to make a down payment. That down payment would have to be made, but we could actually pay it back in 2 months when we get to July 1st. Because we're going to get the first $200,000 of sales taxes available. So we are looking at how do we minimize the interest costs, and the leases allowed us to move forward giving the already identified sales tax and not come back with an alternative plan, but that could be done. And I'm actually I spoke with Mr. Rogers, and we've talked about, you know, the ability to not have to borrow a lot against the line of credit for the lease.
Thank you, Mr. Bartholomew.
All right, any more questions? Seeing and hearing none, we'll come back to you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that the Assembly approve Ordinance 2018-11AG. I would ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Thank you, Mr. Bartholomew. All right. Seeing that there's no unfinished business, we'll move on to new business. Mr. Attorney.
Thank you. This is a proposed regulation to amend Title 20 of the CBJ Administrative Code, Chapter 40, related to Class C permits. Currently, the commercial passenger vehicle regulations only allow for annual certificates. Class C certificates only apply to human-powered vehicles like pedicabs. This regulation proposal would reduce the length of operation for Class C certificates from an annual certificate to a six-month summer certificate. This change would also reduce the certificate fee for Class C businesses from $1,500 to $750 and set Class C renewal dates consistent with the six-month certificate. If this regulation amendment is adopted tonight, two items may be of interest. First, the manager will refund $750 for any Class C business that paid the $1,500 fee for the 2019 season prior to this regulation taking effect. Second, consistent with CBJ code 016330, this regulation would take effect in 7 days, which could be April 30th. The only authority for a regulation to take effect sooner than 7 days is for an emergency regulation, quote, necessary for the immediate preservation of public peace, health, safety, or general welfare, end quote, and such emergency regulations are only effective for 120 days. This regulation amendment does not qualify as an emergency regulation, thus the earliest this regulation can be effective is April 30th. In reviewing the proposed regulations tonight, the CBJ code 016260 provides that the assembly may do four things. One, it may allow the regulation to take effect. The assembly's historical practice is to move for orders of the day, which means that the assembly passes on this and then considers the next item on the agenda without active consideration of this regulation. The second option is to formally move this regulation. Third option is to formally disapprove the regulation. This is an odd one. The assembly may state its reasons for disapproval, but it may not specify explicit conditions for subsequent approval or direct the requesting department to adopt any particular amendments to the regulation. Or finally, the assembly may direct that an ordinance or resolution be drafted in lieu of the regulation for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Any questions for Mr. Attorney? Mr. Jones.
Represent the day.
Any objections? So moved. All right. We'll go to item B. I'm not sure who gets this one. Mr. Manager?
Madam Mayor, this regards a liquor license protest for the Sandbar, and I would defer to the chair of the Human Resources Committee who heard this topic at their meeting tonight at their regularly scheduled meeting at 6.
Mr. Watt, Mr. Attorney, were we supposed to take public comment at that last item?
It's up. Technically, this one's up to the Assembly if you want to take public comment on this item.
Assembly, do you want to take public comment on this item?
No, this is, Madam Mayor, I would ask if there's anybody that wants to publicly comment on this item.
Any member of the public want to publicly comment? It's moved.
I just want to say thank you very much for right-sizing this certificate. Thank you very much.
All right, a little bit. Okay.
Can it do this on the regulation? Is that right?
Well, it's moved, so.
Yeah, I know, but I wanted to say something about that.
Come on up.
There is an emergency situation.
Two.
First, William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305. There is a public safety issue here to get this regulation changed. Number one, I was put off at least 1 week to get this regulation change so we don't run into the tourist season, okay? But when it comes to every time and pedicabs are taken off the CWAP, you're creating a situation where it's public safety. You're creating a public safety risk. I asked the assembly to make a 7-day waiver of the in the waiting period before it's done, and it's done effective as of the 23rd. So no tourists are in risk of falling on the seawall. Okay, and that is in public safety. We do a valuable service when it comes to a lot of people that are in the ships, they're floating long-term care facilities. And you have to treat them like that. And the sooner you get this change, and the more people are, more pedicabs are out there, the better it is.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Quayle. Any questions for Mr. Quayle? Seeing, hearing none, we'll go back to Mr. Jones, who so moved it in the orders of the day. So, thank you, Mr. Quayle. Okay, now we're going on to item B.
Madam Mayor, I was going to suggest that you refer this to the chair of the HRC, who...
That's
not for him.
Mr. Edwardson, apparently the clerk doesn't want you to talk. Okay, Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met and discussed this just prior to this meeting, and the committee recommends that the Assembly protest this license renewal due to 2018 real property tax having an outstanding balance, and I believe the balance is closer to $5,000 than the $14,000 shown in the memo.
The question is, how much do they actually owe?
The initial amount was a little over $10,000. It wasn't the $14,000 that was in the memo. And the applicant had paid $5,000 here just recently.
So, we're getting nods from the finance director.
Come make your debut.
You might have an exact number here.
Come on down.
I do not have an exact number, and I'll not make my first mistake, which is to talk about things I don't know the answer to. Mr. Edwardson's analysis was correct. It was $10,500. We got a $5,000 check today or yesterday, so the balance of that remains due.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Any questions for Mr. Rogers while he's here? All righty. Ms. Glasschef?
I don't have a question for Mr. Rogers. Just a question about the process.
Thank you.
Of protesting and the length of time someone has to pay, and what happens if they come with a check tomorrow, another check tomorrow, just that. That's my question. And then we just take it unprotest?
Madam Clerk. Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, in general, our practice in the past has been to, if the Assembly chooses to protest based on an outstanding balance due, then the clerk's office the next day sends a letter to the ABC board notifying them of the Assembly action. The cure for that action is to bring the account paid in full. In the past, there's been approximately 3 instances in the past 10 years where the Assembly has asked the finance staff to work with the license holder to come up with a payment plan, confession of judgment, and if that payment plan was done by a certain time frame, then the Assembly's action was to waive its protest, provided that the entity entered into a confession of judgment and payment plan was set up. Whenever the business does bring their accounts here, the balance owing, staff automatically notifies our office. We then send a letter directly to the ABC board to notify the board that, in fact, the reason for the protest has been cured and therefore the protest is withdrawn. Mr. Edwardson reported what the
HRC's action was tonight, based on the information provided to the HRC through the licensee as well as staff. We have a 60-day window that staff receives the notice from ABC. In the clerk's office, we send out the notice to all of our departments, the fire department, finance department, community development department, the police department, and utility billings. And they review their files for that particular license. They will, at minimum, we need to send a certified letter 10 days prior to the assembly meeting at which it's going to be heard, so that the license holder has an opportunity to attend, to comment, to provide a letter such as the one that was provided to the HRC this evening. So that's the timing that happens when we receive notice of a liquor license renewal or issuance.
Any questions for Ms. McEwen or Madam Clerk?
I have a question. So just to be clear, they state that they can't pay it in full by April 28th, but if they went into a payment plan, we would be comfortable with that? Did I misunderstand that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In the past, probably within the last 6 or 7 years, we have changed our process somewhat. Prior to that, we would always protest if there was a balance owing and the payment plan option wasn't one. There have been some extenuating circumstances due to business owners' health reasons and or other reasons that the assemblies at that time felt that as long as they could enter into a payment plan, they would not actually protest the license renewal. They would make it conditional upon a payment plan being entered into. And that's an assembly decision. Recent years have had that as one of the options that the assembly has taken.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Glashier?
So if we protest, is there a date? I mean, does the liquor license get pulled by the ABC board on X date and they don't have a liquor license anymore? What date is that?
Through the chair, Ms. Glashevsky, so the ABC board has this license on its agenda for next Monday night or Monday daytime. It is on their delegated consent agenda. If we protested, then they would likely take it off of their delegated consent agenda, move it under a protest. If the ABC board at that meeting upholds the protest, then the director sends a notice to the license holder. The license holder has a 15-day appeal window during which it can appeal the decision of the ABC board. And then there's an entire process that goes forward with the appeal process. We did something similar to that about 5 years ago with the Louise Douglas Inn, and it was a good year and a half before the whole thing got resolved.
All right, thank you, Madam Clerk. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, Madam Clerk, if I'm hearing your description right, it sounds like we've kind of gone one way and another way in the past, so that in the past some people have been able to enter into a payment plan, and the assembly has granted that, but not in all cases, or is that what you said?
Go ahead, Madam Clerk, and then Mr. Manager wants to speak too. Madam Clerk did speak first.
That is correct, Ms. Hale. It has been our practice for the entire time that I was working in the clerk's office it was black and white. We're either protesting if there's a balance due or we're not protesting. We waive our right to protest. About 6-7 years ago, and I can't put my finger right on which license it was, due to special circumstances and the willingness and the ability for a business owner to enter into a confession of judgment, the assembly did a conditional waiver of protest, provided that that entity did enter into a confession of judgment and they were contingent on receiving the payments in a timely manner.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think the historical view is staff has taken the position that people should be current in their property sales and utility billing, and it's only the Assembly that has selectively chosen to relax that standard in a small number of times. I think staff has not found any criteria by which a payment plan would be appropriate in some circumstances, but not in others. And this exact question was the subject of debate earlier tonight. And for more on this, I would again defer to the chair of the HRC to report out further on the committee's discussion on this.
Thank you, Mr. Manager and Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Mr. Jones is first, and then Mr. Edwardson.
I think in the past, in my 7 years on the Assembly, I've never seen a payment plan on a property tax. I've seen payment plan on sales tax. I have seen the finance department protest a license for non-payment of sales tax as a formality, even when there has been a payment plan, because that's the way the rules read. It's up to the Assembly to waive that. Louise Douglas Inn was not only property tax, but is also federal income tax, and I think they owed some other tax on the land property. And we did protest that. They shut down, and it was 2 years before a buyer bought the license and reopened. So it was cured by a sale, and the taxes were all paid. In this instance, we're being asked to not protest if they set up a payment plan on property taxes, and I'm not sure the Assembly has ever waived a protest to set up a payment plan for property taxes, because they're due every year. Usually those are paid through some mortgage payment or whatever, at least on residential. I don't know about commercial. I'm sort of mixing apples and oranges here with payment plans are generally set for sales tax, generally not for property.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'll expand as much as I can, but we did have dissenting views, and those should be heard as well. The discussion was mainly about, from my perspective, the letter that we received from Ms. Nimi. There were two parts of it. One was talking about the process of the waiver. The other was a complaint about the process for notification and, you know, the opportunities to correct the situation. So I'm not sure how deeply I can go into the discussion itself, but we heard from the city finance director. He said the same thing that Mr. Jones just did. He also mentioned the payment plan, or that's what it's called, right? The payment plan, and some possibilities about how to do it. So it's not impossible, but the underlying issue itself is that this would be something new, and we would be treating this applicant differently than what we've treated applicants in the past, and perhaps that we would treat applicants in the future. In the letter, there was, I would call it a hint towards extenuating circumstances, but there was no real linking construct between the illness and the lateness in paying. It was just kind of a fact that was floating out there. So the way that I looked at it, as far as my vote went, was that we have a process, we should follow the process unless there's compelling evidence to say that we should do something different. And I didn't see compelling evidence that we should do something different in this case. Mr. Bryson had a different viewpoint, and I think he could probably speak to his viewpoint more articulately.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson.
Before Mr. Bryson speaks to his thing, why don't we have motion, which Ms. Glaszewski is willing to make, and then we can speak to the motion. How about that?
Okay. I would move that we ask this business get a confession of judgment or make a payment plan for these taxes. The letter to me has extenuating circumstances. The letter actually says I will make sure the rest of it is paid as soon as I can. So I think the business has every intention of doing that. It's roughly $5,000, which is not insubstantial, but it's not. It seems like they could pay it according to this letter. That's all I know, and that's what I would move, that we do that. And regarding whether it's property taxes or sales taxes, to me, it's a matter of extenuating circumstances for this business as opposed to what kind of tax it is.
Could you make your motion a little clearer?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I move that we allow this business to enter into a confession of judgment or get a payment plan, and someone has to, and I'm not sure about if there has to be by a certain date, but are they usually by a certain date, Mr. Palmer? Like, do I say a date that needs to be paid by?
This would be the first time we've touched a property tax matter like this, and I'm right now trying to figure out exactly what that letter said and compare it with our foreclosure statutes. Because we have to be cognizant of that we can't violate state law in the foreclosure process.
Okay, can we take a break?
Could Mr. Jones?
The alcohol side of the Alcohol Marijuana Control Board meeting is on the 30th, Tuesday. And if we have not, if we waive our right to protest, they will continue with the liquor license and whatever gets worked out. If we don't, and we haven't cured it by then, they will act on the license. But I was going to ask Mr. Palmer about this, because generally a confession of judgment is something that gets stated and has a legal ramification that they owe us sales tax. We don't use that on property tax. We use foreclosure law. And foreclosure law can sometimes, business can be in arrears 2 to 3 years before, I think, the law kicks in that we can start using the foreclosure. That doesn't mean we can't protest, but normally under foreclosure laws, it can be a very lengthy amount of time. So I would want to be clear that by saying this business signs a confession of judgment, whether that's even legal on a property.
Yeah. So we are going to give, before we take any more questions from the assembly, we're going to give the attorney 5 minutes to do a little research. So we're adjourned for 5 minutes.
On the next morning edition, should a controversial citizenship question be added to the 2020 census?
The Constitution says our family is everybody who lives here. Not everybody who's a citizen, everybody who lives here.
And where were you when a Nirvana song became a generation's anthem?
We were being slimed on by shirtless guys, like just moshing.
Hear news and stories you'll talk about all day. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition starts at 4 a.m. on KTOO.
Having a safe home is fundamental for emotional and physical well-being. The annual point-in-time homelessness count for Alaska has for years revealed that about 2,000 people across the state do not have their own home. This includes families with children, teenagers, veterans, and others. Is it possible to get to zero? Ending homelessness is our discussion on the next Talk of Alaska.
Tuesday morning at 10 on KTOO Juneau.
The Alaska State Improv Festival is back, April 25th to 28th. Unscripted comedy and theater made on the spot for you by performers from across North America and Europe. 6:15 and 8:30 at McPeters Hall, plus late night shows Friday and Saturday at Hangar Ballroom. Visit alaskaimprov.com for tickets and schedules. The Alaska State Improv Festival, Thursday to Sunday, April 25th to 28th. McPeters Hall, Hangar Ballroom, alaskaimprov.com.
You are tuned to KTOO Juneau, and we're listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting. They've taken a five-minute break. Tonight, showers low around 35, southeast wind around 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. And tomorrow, rain showers, high near 41. And then the rest of the week looks like we're reportedly to go into some snow showers, but looks like there's going to be a little bit of sun next weekend. So looking forward to that. So on about a 5-minute break from the CBJ Assembly meeting, I'll play some music and we'll be back in a few minutes.
from the Madam Clerk that the board meeting starts at 1 o'clock on Monday, April 29th. Is that correct, Madam Clerk?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Glaszewski.
Madam Mayor, I remove my previous motion and make a new one, which is I move to protest the Sandbar liquor license unless payment is made in full by noon on Monday the 29th. So noon this Monday.
Okay. Madam Clerk, you have that motion. So any objections to that motion?
I object.
Ms. Hale, would you care to speak to your objection?
Sorry, my mouth is full. I have a question to help clarify my objection, and my question is that in the letter from the applicant dated April 20th, she states that our last renewal we were delinquent and we were not protested, and I'd like to know if that is the case.
Staff is doing some research on the computer. Mr. Bartholomew.
Here, yeah, that's my understanding is they were delinquent and it wasn't something that the collections department had picked up on. And so when they looked at it this time when they were going through the review that the clerk explained earlier, the review process for renewal of the liquor license, they noted that it was property tax. We inquired of the Department of Law whether we had the same requirement to or process to protest because the property tax was due and not sales tax, and the direction was yes, you have the authority to do that. So this was different than how they did it a year ago or 2 years, whenever the last time the renewal was up.
So I think that for the members of our community that have to comply with an amazing number of laws and requirements, for us to have not protested this the last time this license renewal occurred, and now to protest the license or to protest unless it's paid in full, by the 29th at noon, I think that's inconsistent, and I don't think it provides a fair playing field for members of our regulated community.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hale. Any other comments, objections? Okay, I will just add something. In the owner's letter, she said she could pay by April 29th, which is why I support the motion. If the owner herself states that she could pay it by then, and why we allow it to happen before, that was an error on our part, and I don't think two wrongs make a right in this case, especially because the owner stated she could pay. Ms. Hale?
May I ask for clarification? Would we then be sending a letter to the ABC board stating that we will protest unless payment is received by noon on the 29th?
Well, let's ask staff how we would do that.
Madam Mayor, staff would take direction from the assembly. Whatever the prevailing motion is and the wording of the motion, we would send a letter tomorrow telling the ABC board what the assembly's action is.
Madam Mayor.
Ms. Blaschef.
The motion is to protest the license unless payment is in full. So if they don't pay before 1 o'clock, before the meeting starts, then the city will protest the license. That's what the motion is.
I'm just curious about the mechanics of that. I mean, how do we do that? Do we not protest it until 1 o'clock on Monday and then lodge a protest?
Mr. Bartholomew.
My recommendation to the clerk would be, as she stated, we would alert the ABC board tomorrow that the assembly has made a decision to protest unless we get payment by noon on Monday, and that we will update the ABC board as soon as we have additional information. And so they would be on record that it's in essence protested if we don't get payment.
Yeah.
And then we'd have to do something final on Monday.
And hopefully by 1 o'clock we would have payment and we would withdraw our protest.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. So I confess I've lost track. Did we have an objection to the motion? Are you still having an objection, Ms. Hale?
Yes.
All right. We have an objection. Madam Clerk, will you call roll?
On the motion to protest the renewal of liquor license number 2844 for the Sandbar Incorporated, unless paid in full by noon on April 29th. Ms. Fladyshevsky?
Yes.
Ms. Tree?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Gandy?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. So that brings us to staff reports. Thank you, Mr. Bartholomew.
No staff report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. So that brings us to Mayor's report. And unfortunately, I've been busy. So happy Earth Day to everybody. Just help celebrate this. I got to cut the ribbon at Fred Meyer for the new electric chargers and read a proclamation for Drive Electric Earth Day. And that was this past Saturday. And previous to that, I got to participate in Litter-Free Day by picking up garbage at Duck Creek. So also activities I've been doing, I got to welcome the 84th Tribal Assembly for Central Council Clinkett and Haida. And my husband and I attended the awards dinner, and I have to have a shout out to Mr. Edwardson for entertaining my husband. He was had a good time. So I also got to welcome the Alaska League of Women Voters Convention. And I also got to welcome the emergency search and rescue exercise, and this was in a joint emergency preparedness exercise of search and rescue teams, including the National Guard, the fire department, Sea Dogs, and some members from Elise Haynes and possibly elsewhere. And a shout-out goes to Tom Matisse for organizing that and doing a great job. Everybody said the exercise was good. So I also got to speak at Gaston Rotary as an invited guest speaker, so that was fun, even though it was early in the morning. And I got to speak at the final DARE graduation at Glacier Valley School. And thanks to Ms. Gladyshevsky for covering me for one of the DARE graduations that I had to miss. So I attended the Downtown Business Association Board of Directors meeting for a question and answer session. And I also attended the Pillars of America speaker series. And I'm saying something about this one because it was Jesse LeBeau who spoke, and he is from Ketchikan. So that was fun to have almost a local boy speaking then. So, and I also attended the sustainability session that involved the cruise ships and tourism put on by JCOS. So I went and had a visit of a Dare Kennedy field and site, and thanks to George Schaff and Michelle Effers for the tour. And we just had the anniversary of Officer Adair and Officer Kennedy's death in the line of duty, and the anniversary is April 17th, 1979. So that was sad news for them, but on happy news, I also attended the JPD promotion of Matt Dubois to Sergeant, and we also celebrated National Telecommunicators Week. So shout out to our dispatchers. Just some events coming up people should be aware of. The JEDC Visitor Cluster and TBMP are going to talk about tourism growth in Juneau on Tuesday, April 23rd from 5 to 6:30 at the Elizabeth Bradovich Hall. And also on the first cruise ship celebration will be on hand on Sunday, April 28th at the Franklin Dock. And the ship comes in at 9 o'clock and disembarks at 9:30. And thank you to Travel General for setting that up. And Ms. Gladyshevsky is going to represent the city, as I will be in Skagway at Mayor Monica Carlson's funeral. So, and the last event that I know of coming up is the blessing of the fleet and reading of the names at the Commercial Fishermen's Memorial on May 4th, starting at 10 o'clock. And that concludes my report. So we'll go to the Assembly reports for committee reports, liaison reports, and any comments. And we'll start with Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 2nd of April, PRAC met, and we saw a presentation for the AWARE Healing Totem. We got an update on trail repair and a presentation from the Treadwell Arena, where they're boasting a 65% recovery rate. They're also looking at expanding Treadwell Arena to include summer activities to help with that. On the 3rd, I also went to the JEDC board meeting. DBA membership's up 10%. They're working on angel investors, and we went over the projects that their $90,000 request would go to. On the 4th, I did a motivational speech at Johnson Youth Center. I've done that every year. I was falling behind Mark Wheeler this year. On the 9th, the Planning Commission covered caretaker buildings on Commercial Boulevard. They went over the dockless vehicle moratorium rule. And the Deccan Dave and Juno Compost, they figured out some rules to get them in for early entry so they could begin work immediately before the lease takes place. On the 10th, City Manager Watt was kind enough to give me a few minutes where we discussed one of the questions I asked here in front of the Assembly about the amount of resources that we provided to our less fortunate. We have roughly $950,000 that goes to Juno Community Foundation and another $1.5 million for Bartlett. I think those are the big funds that we discussed. So roughly 3% of the $120 million budget goes to helping the most needy. On the 15th, I also went to Sergeant Dubois, Matt Dubois' police promotion. That was a pretty neat event. Got to sit next to hang out to Mr. Jones. I was the guest on Action Line on the 16th. I went to the Juno Park Foundation grand opening that was held on the 19th at the new tasting room, and we got to see another presentation on a new cabin that's coming. And on the Saturday the 20th, I went to the Travel Juno event at the Jack to see all the different activities, and I joined the mayor at the Fred Meyer's charging event, watch her cut the ribbon. And then also on Saturday, I celebrated 15 years as the owner of my company. That was my big birthday then. So, and that is my report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also was on Action Line on the 12th. I always enjoy Pete Caron's interview style. He's a wonderful man. I attended, I think it was maybe last Tuesday, I attended an open house dinner. I had an invitation to dinner at Haven House, which is transitional housing for women who have left the halfway house or perhaps have left AWARE. And I'd been invited by one resident there several times and ran into her on the bus, actually, on one of my rotating bus rides. Sometimes on the bus, one person will sit next to me and chat, and then she'll leave, and then another person will sit next to me. And it was very, very moving. It was really wonderful listening to the struggles these women have had and the successes they're having as they transition out of really difficult prison-type situations and into being productive members of society. So it was really moving, moving thing to do. Last week I attended the Hospital Governance Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona. It was tough being so warm, I have to admit. It was very productive, lots of food for thought. So there were several board members there, and I'm really grateful that I was able to attend. I got a much better idea of changes in the whole hospital situation, although one person agreed that Juno, more so than just about anywhere else in the country, is blessed by splendid isolation. I said, we're not quite that isolated. Anyway, it was very productive. Juno Commission on Sustainability continues to be active on many fronts, and Public Works and Facilities Committee as well. We've been having special meetings on the new Jack possibility. We have one set for the 30th, and I had hoped to get a chance to talk to Mr. Biggie. We might move that one out a little bit. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Hughes Candies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Juno Commission on Aging met on the normal date, whatever that would have been. They've got a subcommittee that's hard at work on the survey. So keep your eye out for a funding request for that, probably coming to the Finance Committee soon. They're closely watching the land purchase or tracking as that gets moved to the pending list. And they are looking to do some work with the census to maybe make sure that our seniors are counted accurately, see if they can help with that. I went to the Downtown Business Association meeting where you were and got to meet those fine folks and learn a little bit about what they do. Mark your calendars for May 5th at 1 p.m. if you're interested in the color run. They'll be doing that as a fundraiser again this year. It's always a good time. I missed the Sister Cities Committee because I was sick, so I look forward to meeting with them, but I still haven't been able to connect. What else? There was a Willoughby District / Auk Village District stakeholders update, which was just everybody chiming in with what they've got going on. I think JEDC put it on. That was very informative. I went to an informal sort of decommissioning that was put together to watch the Fairweather sail away. It was very sad, but also very moving. The Nathan Jackson retrospective opening on the first Friday at the Sea Alaska Center was, or the Walter Sobel, thank you, building, which was very beautiful. I had the good time to see this lady next to me perform at the 45th Annual Folk Fest, which was pretty great and was a great reminder of the spirit of volunteerism. It's always nice to see an event that big put on just by volunteers. I went to the Parks Fundraiser, or Kickoff, Parks Foundation, the Travel Fair, and I think that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Gandies. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Travel Juno has a lot of exciting things happening, although the mayor stole some of my thunder, but I'm going to say them again anyways. the first large cruise ship is arriving this Sunday, the 28th, at 9 o'clock, and it's not just the deputy mayor who's invited. We're all invited to be there to welcome those passengers. And I'll plug again the Tourism Best Management Practices Community Meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Elizabeth Ratrovich Hall to continue the discussion of sustainability. I also attended the travel fair on Saturday. Over 1,300 people attended the fair. I got my early bird tram pass, so I'm excited about that. On Aquatics Board news, we are continuing to recruit for Aquatics Board members since we will be having a large number of vacancies this summer. I have some dates of note for pool users. The Diamond Park Aquatic Center annual closure will be from April 29th through May 5th. The Augustus Brown annual closure will be June 3rd through June 9th. So mark those days if you're a swimmer. I've been traveling a lot for work to Anchorage. While I was not working, I did get to participate in some Anchorage local government action. It was pretty exciting. They had their election earlier this month, and I went to their election central. And they had more balloons than we do, but I think ours has a better vibe. It's a little more exciting. So thank you, Madam Clerk, for the work you do on that. I met with two individual Anchorage Assembly members, John Weddleton and Suzanne LaFrance, and we just kind of exchanged notes on what it's like to be an assembly member. I think we have it a little bit easier, a little bit better. Their job seems a little bit harder. But we did, in particular, exchange notes on on-site consumption rules for marijuana, so I got some good ideas from them. And I also attended last week an Anchorage Assembly Finance Committee meeting, and Mr. Jones assures me that that gives me extra credit for our own finance committee. So that's my report.
Thank you, Ms. Dream. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have two recommendations for boards and commissions. First, the Human Resources Committee moves that the Assembly appoint Doreen Lorenz to the Historic Resources Advisory Committee for a term beginning immediately and ending June 30th, 2021.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, she is appointed.
And next, I move the Human Resources Committee moves that the Assembly appoint Annie Bartholomew to the Sister Cities Committee for a term beginning immediately and ending January 1st, 2021.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, she is appointed.
Thank you.
Annie. Okay.
She is appointed. Okay. I attended the JCOS cruise ship meeting. They had a panel. It was a pretty good panel. Good to listen to. I attended the opening of the Parks Foundation reception at the tasting room. It's the first time I've been in there. It was full. Let me see. I'm going to skip over that one until the end. I attended the, as Madam Mayor said, the Clinkett and Haida Tribal Assembly President Awards Banquet. And the banquet was to benefit the three indigenous languages that Clinkett and Haida helps fund all over Southeast. I don't think it's just Southeast. I think it's also Seattle and San Francisco and maybe even Anchorage. So the languages are pretty important, and one of the famous artists from around here, Robert David Boxley, was the auctioneer, and one of the things that he talked about was how hard it is being a language advocate, trying to save languages that have been wiped out for a long time. And people are doing it. People are doing it with funding. People are doing it without funding. And I'll just echo what Ms. Hale brought up. It was a couple of meetings ago. It's a saying that President Peterson has, and that's that healthy tribes lead to healthy communities, and they do, and the language is a big part of that. So as far as the liaison, I played hooky from the Eagle Crest Board a couple of weeks ago to attend the reception for Nathan Jackson. I'm from Ketchikan, so the Rotary speaker was a local boy to me. And Nathan Jackson, he's getting up there in age, but he was a famous Ketchikan carver when I was a kid down there. So it was pretty fun, really. Let's see, LEPC was canceled due to ICS training. And the last thing that I'll bring up is the Juneau Human Rights Commission is suggesting, and the Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly recognize the achievements of Rosalie T. Walker. She is a 9-year Juneau Assembly member. You should have access to the letter that they sent to me and tonight's Human Resources. Human Resources package. She is a longtime Juneau resident, State of Alaska employee, past president of the Alaska Municipal League. She sat on the Juneau Assembly for 9 years. The list goes on. Some things that you're not going to find in the letter, I don't think, is was one of the founders of Head Start. And I can't remember. There's a few more things. But we actually had four of the members of the commission come down and attend the meeting, and two of them gave us testimony. And we did vote to recommend to the Assembly recognition, and the committee authorized me to deal with you to determine what the best kind of recognition would be in this case. Since the commission, this is the first time they've done it, and then as a team, that was the first time we addressed that. So.
Well, typically we do proclamations, so I would recommend that you, Mr. Chair, work with either Ms. McEwen or Ms. Phillips and make a proclamation.
And I'll work with the commission also for the best timing. They suggested maybe African American History Month or Women's History Month. Or sometime Ms. Walker passed away several years ago. She moved back to Maryland to be close to her family and passed away there.
All right. So thank you for bringing that up too. So, Mr. Edwardson, Mr. Jones.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. Finance Committee meeting has been meeting every Next meeting is this Wednesday night. Hopefully you all have this packet that was passed out. It's both the special assembly meeting, which will be a public hearing on the four appropriation ordinances, and then it'll be followed by the finance committee. The big issue on that will be school district budget and the funding above the cap. The Child Care Committee held their last meeting on the 19th of this month. We approved the report, and that report has been transmitted to the mayor. So that particular task force is done. Some of that will be coming back to the Finance Committee, and some of it's already on in book, but there might be some others added on. The Juneau School District met on the 9th of April on their normal meeting. They had a little bit of discussion, had quite a bit of discussion about Marie Drake. This was on a Tuesday. That Friday afternoon, a pipe had burst, and part of the basin had been flooded. If anybody drove by Egan Drive, you saw the pumps working, all the water pouring out on Egan Drive. The superintendent did a lot of discussion about their disaster response and training and how that seemed to work well. She also mentioned that because their central IT is in the basement of Marie Drake and the power company turned off the power, the school system lost their computers, they lost their emails, and their phone system. While they said they worked around all of that, in some discussion with Mr. Bigu and some others, we'd asked some questions about not so much disaster response, but disaster recovery. What would have happened had the servers gotten wet? Those are very expensive pieces of equipment. How would they have recovered? Superintendent, in response to an email, said that they think the computer system would be okay. Some of the other stuff would be okay. They're most worried about was if they had lost their phone system. That would not have been as easy to replace. As it was, the superintendent was talking to all the affected schools about the computers being down with her cell phone and talking to other people on cell phones, but they couldn't do blast emails and that kind of stuff. So I think the school district will have a lot of discussion about that over time, or at least the administration will. It's one thing to plan for a response so that the staff and kids are safe, but they really don't have a recovery plan, per se, of what would happen if they lost vital stuff, like their entire IT system. Mr. Vigio and I thought, well, you know, how long have they been in the basement of Drake, the oldest school building, a year? They actually moved it all from the high school, and they moved the charter school into the high school and moved it to Marie Drake. So it had sort of been there forever. So hopefully they'll think about that as we work on that. The next meeting of the Juneau School District is on the 14th of May, a Tuesday. I also went to the DBA meeting. That was my last one as liaison. I appreciate Ms. Huskani being willing to take that over. And in some ways, I will miss that group. The Alaska Municipal League has been doing a lot of work up on the Hill with the budget issues. I've appreciated following the managers, and this is not my term or anybody or his term, but several people in the community have appreciated the city manager not willing to take any prisoners on the governor's budget. But the Municipal League usually has a meeting in May. It's usually in Anchorage. This year it's going to be here in Juneau because they figure the legislature is still going to be here. So the AML board meeting will be the 8th and 9th here in Juneau. And then just one addition. I attended a lot of the same meetings. I didn't attend a bunch of functions, but I did attend a lot of meetings. The mayor mentioned the blessing of the fleet on May 4th at 10 o'clock. Following that, at 11 o'clock is the annual Maritime Festival. I think this is the fifth or sixth one. It goes from 11 till 6 or 7 at night. in the past couple of years, they've had over 5,000 people attend Maritime Festival. So you can go to the Blessing of the Fleet, you can go into the Twisted Fish and have breakfast, and then you can go to Maritime Festival and make a day out here in downtown Juneau. And with that, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Lance talked about Aurora Arms, which we've talked about before, and we're doing a land trade with them so that we can have access to the upper part of the, I don't remember what it's called, it has a name. Anyway, that land behind their building so that there can be residential, be room for residential space if we decide to use it that way. Senior housing, there's an update. There's a request for an appraisal so that we know what that land is worth now. And I was told by someone that the river has moved and it's not hitting the land by where the seniors want to build. Has anyone heard that?
Madam Mayor, so the land that's long been envisioned for the senior housing project, I would say, is more beneficially situated because of the cut through the Oxbow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that it has no river hazard potential, but I would say less. And generally, other engineers that have looked at the property for the consideration of the development of senior housing have felt like there were engineering solutions to bank protection for a facility there. So I would say that burden is lessened by the shift in the river.
So what I got was mostly the right story. Well, that sounds good. I was told that it was also because of the movement of the river, new land, new slough off being put in that area where the house would be, which would be a pretty good thing if that's true. So, of course, they would like the funds from the assembly. Dobson Harbors approved giving $35,000 for the visitor information kiosk downtown. They met with the Territorial Sportsman about Amalga Harbor. There are issues from the perspective of the Territorial Sportsman. So Dobson Harbors and Territorial Sportsman are going to meet together to try to resolve some of the issues. The update on the lumbermen is that they're looking, Dobson Harbors looking for someone to haul it away. It is not a solution to sink it. That's too bad, because I think that's been done successfully in the past. Anyway. The next board meeting of Dobson Harbors is April 25th. The committee that's met with the school district facility committee, I hope we had a really excellent meeting the last meeting. The superintendent discussed school space with something she agreed to do, and she says there's really no school space left for putting in new rooms for preschool, but there might be space to expand what we already have and add more students, more kids to some of the space that's already happening. She reminded us that there are 13 preschool spaces that are already being used in the school. Three of them are kinder ready, two is Head Start, seven is the Integrated Special Ed and Peer Program, and one is the Montessori 3K. I think that she really feels they are doing their part on the childcare issue. Definitely, we talked a lot about legal implications for private operators in schools. Our attorney was there to provide some additional information for us. Told you that already. So that's basically it on the child care at our next meeting. I can't remember what it is, but it's coming up. And what is it?
April 30.
That's right, April 30, because we have to go 31st to get our report into the mayor. So we're having it on April 30. Okay, that's it, I think.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Becker. Ms. Bashevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on April 8th, heard an update on the tourism best management practices from Kirby Day, and had a little bit more of a longer conversation about that. Talked about the sleep-off center discussion, about where sleep-off belongs, might be moved to. Heard about the moderate drought that we're having, severe drought in southern southeast, but moderate here. Still impactful on our supply of water. And then we talked a little bit about on-site consumption regulations regarding marijuana, and voted to continue to consider that issue. Next meeting is next Monday. Mr. Watt, the Parks and Rec Master Plan, is that, are we getting another one of those? I just wanted to give people a heads up to read it. We don't have it, correct? We still don't have the new one.
I believe you do not, so we will try and get that to you soon.
But will it be on the Mondays at COW?
And the intention is to have it Monday at the COW, and since it's a lengthy document.
It's a lengthy document, and you've already read most of it or some of it, but so we need a copy of the new one if we're going to talk about it. That was the heads up on read your plan. let's see. I'm attending some of the same meetings everyone else has. A meeting on the Willoughby District in Ox Village. Sustainability session on tourism. I did get to speak at the DARE graduation at Gastineau. That was quite a privilege. I had not been familiar with that program. I thought it was an old thing, but it's still going on, and the kids love it. I asked teachers about it. They still think it's a great thing. It's not just about don't do drugs, although that is certainly part of it, but it's about good decision-making. So the kids and the teachers apparently like it a lot, at least at Gastineau. Thank you to all those who put on the Folk Festival, including a board member who sits on this body. It's a lot of work. And it's just dozens and hundreds probably of volunteers, and it's a great time every year, and I'm always surprised at the number of people in Juneau who've never been. So just a plug in for people who have never been to go. And I have one question for the manager, and that is, Ms. Becker mentioned the Harbor Board, and you might not know the answer to this because it's not your responsibility, but I was going to ask you if you knew anything about the Amalga issue. I know they had a meeting, and I wondered if you knew about what was going to happen with the board. And if you don't, fair enough. I just wanted to ask.
Through the mayor, I do not think they have brought that issue to conclusion. They are still working to try and develop a project. From what I've heard from the near neighbors, I think the near neighborhood is not particularly interested in a project at all. So I think there is some tension around that issue, and I don't know that it's coming to immediate resolution soon. It looks like it probably is dragging on a bit.
Because it was supposed to go back to our committee. So.
And when they're done, it should be coming back. So okay. not impending.
Not anytime soon. All right, thank you very much. That's
Mr. Jones?
I was going to say I had attended the meeting, the public meeting with the neighborhood. It was scheduled for an hour and a half. It went about 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. I believe about 10 to 1, the neighborhood was opposed to the project as it was designed. They could probably almost be probably 5 to 1 in favor of removing the fish cleaning station that's there now, let alone doing anything else. And Docks and Harbors at that public meeting stated that they would be working to consolidate the public comments they got at that meeting, plus any other public comments that they got, and the Docks and Harbors would probably be taking it up potentially at the May meeting, trying to decide what it is they wanted to do. I was a little bit surprised when Ms. Becker said that Docks and Harbors couldn't be meeting with territorial sportsmen to find a solution, given that the neighborhood out there is, as I said, about 10 to 1 opposed to any project. So if you could pass on to Mr. Yucatel that if he's going to hold time with territorial sportsmen. Hopefully it's in a public forum where the neighborhood can attend, rather than have one organization fighting another one. I just think it would be easier. But it was very, very apparent that the neighborhood did not want the project to go forward.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Glashef.
Just for your information, Mr. Jones, the territorial sportsman, my understanding is still similar to the neighborhood, so it's not the, I don't know that they're at odds, but anyway, that's all.
Okay, do you have anything further, Ms. Glashef?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right, you have a presiding officer report?
Oh, I do have something further. Thank you for that. We're having a pre-hearing conference on two matters, the Mountainside States Neighbor Association on Tuesday, and then on Thursday there's a pre-hearing conference for the volunteers of America One. Basically, those are two meetings just to schedule, to lay out the schedule for briefings and to come to agreement with the parties on the schedule. So that's going to happen on this Tuesday and then this Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Glashevsky. And thank you to all my assembly members that reminded me of everything I forgot. So I was able to welcome the Juneau Park Foundation as being Juneau's newest nonprofit organization. And thank you for Chair Ian Fisk for that. I attended the Willoughby District Stakeholders Update and the Malaga Harbor Public Meeting, although I wasn't able to attend all of it like Mr. Jones was. I had the pleasure of going to the Folk Fest twice and seeing Johnny Negocio Bowl as an MC, and that would be AK Mr. Hale. I attended the travel fair and got my tram pass and my Alaska Airlines baggage tags. And I also attended the Clink, the wine tasting in support of the Jack. So I apologize for missing those. So anyway, anybody else forget anything that they need to add? So Ms. Treen.
Since we're adding things that we forgot, I went to the ice show put on by the Juneau Skating Club, and it was fantastic. They did a wonderful job.
All right, so that leaves us a continuation of public participation. Ms.
One thing as well. I actually spoke at the decommissioning of the Fairweather, and it was very sad, and it was beautiful music played, too.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hale. So, continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Ms. Galleon, Mr. Okay, seeing none. Any other matters coming before the assembly?
All right.